Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this is your Tune Radio Islam International. We continue with the Q&A program, and the guest is Mufti Siraj today, Sayyid Hafidhullah from Port Elizabeth. We'd like to welcome Mufti Sahib to the program once again. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Jazakumullah. Yes, dear listeners, we have approximately another 1 hour left for the program. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. And the SMS number for today's program is 082-580-8070. Again, a reminder, inshallah, it's 082-580-8070. So the questions have come through. The first stating that what happens if a person gives his zakat out every month? Will this be okay?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that is permissible. You can give zakat monthly. It's like paying the zakat in installments. So if you got an X amount of zakat to pay, you can pay it off and just keep a record of how much you paid. But try your best to make sure that that zakat is paid before the next year is due. So you can do that. You can pay your zakat on a monthly basis in small amounts.
JazakAllah. SMS question stating, let's take up a caller first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. My question is, if you're giving zakat to somebody, do you have to tell them that it's zakat money?
Okay, well, this is how we'll respond to that, Appa.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
It is not necessary to tell people that I'm giving you zakat. The most important thing is that one should have the niyat of zakat. The intention should be there when giving the zakat, and that intention is in your mind. So whatever you tell that person, I'm giving you a gift, or I'm just helping you out, it doesn't matter. You don't need to tell the recipient that this is zakat. The most important thing, as I said, is your niyat should be of zakat when giving the money to the person.
Jazakumullah. SMS number 082-580-8070. The question stating, I went to a doctor a few years ago, and in that year I realized that the consultation fee was not taken off from my medical aid account. And I notified the doctor, the receptionist at the time, and despite numerous calls thereafter, the amount has still not gone off my medical aid scheme. Now the doctor has moved away, moved this up, and contact details are not available. How do I dispose of the payment?
Remember, when you go to a doctor, even though you have a medical aid scheme or you are on medical aid, when you go to a doctor and he sees to you, you are primarily, you are responsible for that particular account. So you've tried your best to contact the doctor. Now the doctor is not available. You don't know his family members. What I would suggest is that amount that you owed you owed for the consultation and for whatever services the doctor rendered, give that amount in sadaqah, give it in charity. You don't make a niyat of sawab, but just to get it off your shoulders, to get out of this responsibility of owing someone money, you give it out in charity, and that will be acceptable.
JazakAllah. Two callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Jibin.
I wanted to ask Mufti Sahib, awabin salah, the two nafil we can incorporate with the awabin. What about the two sunnah, can we incorporate it with the two in the awabin?
Right, Mufti Sahib will respond.
JazakAllah.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yes, it is permissible. You can make your two sunnat after Maghrib Salah, and then you make another four rakats with the niyat of awabin. That will be counted as six awabin. If you just make the two sunnat, it will just go down as two sunnat, then you won't get any reward of awabin. It only becomes part, or you can only include it in awabin, the two sunnats, if you make an extra four rakats of Nafil Salah, then you get the reward of the six salatul awabin.
JazakAllah. Another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mawlana Fendizop.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Alhamdulillah.
I got a question for Mufti Sahib.
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Mufti Sahib, Muslim trader. If you buy something from a Muslim trader today and you return it tomorrow because the article is not suitable for you, can they charge you 15% or 10%? charges for, I don't know what they call it.
Handling fees.
Handling charges or whatever, I don't know what they call it.
All right. Okay, but this is our response.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, this particular practice among traders of charging someone when they hand the thing back, when they come for a refund, that basically is not permissible. In Sharia, you can't charge for handling fees or just for the fact that the person took the item away and then brought it back. Yes, you have an option, you have a choice. If you want to refund it, you can do so. If you don't want to refund it, you can tell the person, I'm sorry, there's no defect, there's nothing wrong with the item, there's no defect. I sold you the item and it is perfect, it was in good condition and working condition, and maybe a person is returning it just because you don't like it or you feel that it's not going to serve your purpose. So the trader has got the option of not accepting the refund, not giving the refund and saying, look, I'm not taking this item back. Or if he does do it, it's a great thing to do with a lot of thawab in this. According to one hadith, it is reported that a person, just like if you cancel a person's sale who is not happy with the sale, Allah will cancel your sins. So there's a lot of sawab. But if you do give a refund, you can't charge that person any handling charges. Yes, there are certain cases in certain types of businesses where the trader will have to pay maybe a supplier a certain amount of money if that item is returned. Sometimes because of the packaging, because of having removed an item from the package, it will cost the suppliers money again to repack that item, and you took it out of the box. So the trader will have to pay his supplier. That trader can collect the money from the customer and say, look, it's going to cost me this much. So he can collect exactly and only that amount that he will have to pay the supplier or anyone else for repacking and so forth. Otherwise, just handling charges or some whatever charges, that is not permissible to charge someone when you are giving a refund and you're taking back an item.
Jazakumullah. Line number four, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Siapa?
I wanted to ask Mufti Sahab that if a man takes out zakat for his business and then he takes that zakat and gives it to his wife to pay her zakat, is that permissible?
Just hold the line, Appa. Mufti Sahab got the question?
I got the question.
Okay, Appa, jazakallah for that.
Jazakallah, Allah sanun.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
As I mentioned a few questions earlier, that the husband and wife, they can't give their zakat to each other. So he took his zakat out, and now that zakat that he needs to pay, he's giving it to his wife. It is not valid. It will not be acceptable. It won't be discharged. And if the wife knows that he's giving me zakat, she must give it back to him, or she must tell him, look, I can't take your zakat. So the husband is not allowed to give his wife his zakat. If she hasn't got money to pay her own zakat, he's got to give her from other funds, from his normal money, and either even if it means lending her money and allowing her to pay her zakat, but he cannot give his zakat to his wife. That is not allowed.
Jazakumullah. We go on further, G. Number to call 854-1548. The SMS number for today's program, 0825-808-070. G. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello,
assalam.
G, my brother. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. G. I was trying to find out, the zakat on gold, do you pay the cost price or the replacement price?
Okay. Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah.
Response?
Yeah, I got a question. Zakat on gold, you never pay the cost price of gold. You will pay either what you say, the replacement or the current, the market price. So if a person has got, if a woman has got jewelry, for example, and she needs to pay a zakat after the Islamic year has ended, then at that point in time, when the year ends, on that particular day, she must look at what is the current price of the gold, and the gold will be calculated in terms of that price, the current market price. In other words, what you will pay for gold on the open market, and these prices are published in the papers. I know sometimes the ulama, they put up these notices in the masajid where the gold price and all this is clearly indicated. Likewise, a person has a gold coin, maybe the Kruger coin, and you need to pay zakat on that. You need to look at what the current price of that coin is, not what you paid for it maybe 5 years ago or even last year, because we know that the gold price appreciates, is always going up, and you need to take the current value, the current market value of the gold when paying zakat.
Jazakumullah. All right, we're going further. Another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. G.
Wa alaikum salam. Am I online?
G, my brother, live on air.
I just want to ask on behalf of somebody, a person was paying zakat in Safar, and now they want to change it to Ramadan. Can they do that? Because it's like 7 months difference. So do they pay for, not for the whole year, but from Safar till now is about 7 months. So do they calculate it on that? And the other question I want to ask, if you have foreign currency, do you pay on a buying rate or the selling rate?
Okay, jazakumullah.
All right.
Response?
With regards to changing your Islamic month, that is permissible. What you do is, remember, if a person was paying zakat in Safar, his zakat is only due the next Safar, the next year. Now he wants to pay it in Ramadan, so it's only maybe 5-6 months down the line. So what he will do, he will calculate his zakat for that year, pay it in Ramadan, and because his zakat is only due at the end of Safar, zakat was not farad, so what he is actually doing, he's paying zakat in advance. So he will pay his zakat, and when Safar comes, and he will just calculate, he has to do a calculation to find out if the advance zakat that he paid, whether that was permissible, and then if whether that was enough to cover what his zakat is at the end of Safar, and then of course in Ramadan this year now, when he's paying the zakat, he's got to make a note. Make a note of what his assets are, so that he knows that by next Ramadan, what values and what amounts that I have at the start and the end of the Islamic year. And then, as I said, when Safar comes, there he does another calculation of his zakat, just to see that what I paid for my zakat last year, which would be last Ramadan, whether that accounted for the extra amount, and whether it was enough to cover my zakat that was due in Safar. And then from that point onwards, well, actually from this Ramadan, he will now calculate for the next Ramadan. He will just keep a note of the assets so he knows what to pay next year. But in between, when the next Safar comes, they will also do the calculation just to make sure that the advance zakat that he paid, whether that was correct or not. And regarding foreign currency, when one owns any currency or any zakatable assets, then you must look at what your value is. So when your value will be how much you can get when you sell that currency, not what you can buy it for. So if you go to a bank and you sell that currency, or any particular money changer and so forth, and you sell the currency, what can you get for that particular currency? That will be your value, and that is how you will calculate your zakat.
Jazakumullah. We're going further. Number to call is 85415 48, and yes, we have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello. Alright, we continue inshallah. Another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Line number 5 this time. G.
If I am not Balig, do I still have to pay fitra?
Alright, Muntisab will respond to that, okay? Jazakumullah. Muntisab, important question as well, G.
Yes, very important. For children, they don't need to pay fitra. The father will have to pay for his minor children their fitra. So your father, he will do that for you. He will pay your fitra. You don't need to pay any fitra at all.
Jazakumullah. Jazakallah for the question as well. Line number 3. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jiyapa?
I'm phoning in connection with Itikaf. Are we allowed to sit with our cell phones in there to contact? And there's more for the mail. And then say I have a grandchild and I wish to take the child. The man wished to take the child to meet the father in the masjid. Is that possible also?
All right, Mufti Sahib will respond. Jazakumullah for that.
Jazakumullah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
With regards to cell phones, a person who's sitting at itikaf, yes, you're allowed to take the cell phone in the masjid, but there are a few rules. One is this, that the phone must always be on silent or it must be off. It will not be allowed for a person to keep the phone on loud, because, of course, when it rings, it will disturb people, even if it is outside salah times. Remember, there are a lot of people in the masjid. People at any given time, there will be someone engaged in ibadat, or if not, then they will be sleeping at night. So you don't want to disturb, you can't disturb people. When you're not allowed to read Quran aloud and make zikr aloud when people are sleeping, then of course you will not be allowed to even allow the cell phone to ring loudly. Secondly, I notice people when they have the cell phone, then they sometimes they've got maybe qirat on there, or they're listening to some lecture. Now, if one wants to do that, you need to use the earphones. You need to use the earphones when listening to any qirat or any lecture on the cell phone. Thirdly, once you are in i'tikaf, it won't be permissible for a person to use that phone to surf the internet or to listen to radio programs, to log on to some live streaming, audio stream, whatever. That is not permissible, because that will fall under worldly matters. Fourthly, the purpose of the cell phone is just to communicate out of necessity when there's a need for something, not to just have a chat with someone, with your friends, and sitting till late at night and speaking to people and sharing views and so forth. It's only when it's absolute necessary. You need to communicate with your wife, she needs to communicate with you. Or the first thing is, what is allowed with a cell phone if a person is conducting business? Now, the Sharia has made it so easy that one who is in i'tikaf, if your business depends upon you, the running of the business, you're allowed to conduct the business from the masjid whilst you are in i'tikaf. Now, if you need to use a phone for that, either speaking to people or chatting to people, to your manager, or someone who is in charge of the business, that is totally permissible. Or even if it means you need to do a deal with someone and you're sending that person an email, or you're doing some business with the phone, if you are the only person that can run that business, it's dependent upon you and that's your income, then by all means there's no restriction whatsoever. You can use that phone to conduct your business. So these are basically the rules regarding the cell phone. Other than that, it is not permissible to use the phone for any worldly purpose. And as we say, you know, when I went into one masjid in Pakistan, in Islamabad, I was quite impressed with the notice there that says that at this point the notice was hanging right at the door of the masjid.
Sure.
So it said it's in Urdu, but the meaning was this, that at this point your connection with the world ends and your connection with Allah begins. So please switch off your cell phone. So that's exactly in a nutshell what happens when we are in i'tikaf. We are now connecting with Allah, not with any of the service providers and all these cell phones and that.
Jazakumullah. Yes, we're going further, G. It's 29 minutes past 10 o'clock, approximately another 20-25 minutes remaining before we terminate the program thereafter the pledge line, inshallah. Call us, limited time, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 082-580-8070G. Another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, G. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Alright, call us back inshallah again, 854-1548G. Most of the question coming through via SMS. What is the difference between lillah and sadaqah, and are there any restrictions on who you can give it to?
Before you answer that previous caller, there was one more thing that I think she asked, that was taking the grandchild into the masjid to see the grandfather. Yes. Okay, there, that's permissible. Yes, it's nothing wrong with that if anyone wants to visit the mu'takifin, especially children.
you can, the grandchildren, the children can go see the father or the grandfather. But year two, it must be something brief, because you don't want to have extra unnecessary contact with outsiders. They can come and sit for a few minutes and speak things and just find out how's everything. And that will be allowed, but not to have the children coming and spending the whole day, day after day, and then your time is going with them. Of course, that is now a special time when you're devoting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The current question about lillah and sadaqah, yes, the difference between lillah and sadaqah. Sadaqah is a charity that is given to the poor. That is basically what sadaqah is used for. And that is what it means. It must be something that is given to the poor. It's just like zakat. The only thing is, it is optional. So the same conditions will apply, that if you give, if you got sadaqah, you use it, and that will be given into the possession of the poor person. The poor person must own it, and then it becomes a sadaqah. Whereas lillah, it's got a more general usage. It is for any dini purpose. For any dini purpose. So if you have money and you want to feed people, you'll take that lillah money, you'll cook food, invite people, or there's a feeding scheme, you donate to that, or there's a feeding scheme, you want to buy rice or soup, whatever, meat, and you donate it to the feeding scheme. That can be done with lillah money. Likewise, lillah can go to the masjid, it can go to a madrasa, it can go to a waqf organization, it can go to waqf property, it can be used, a person is... you can use it to give out loans to people. So lillah has got a very wide a big variety of avenues where the lillah can be channeled, because lillah doesn't have to come into someone's possession. Whereas sadaqah, like zakat, like fitrah, like fidya, kafara, these types of monies must be given, or it can be given in kind, but it must come into the possession of the poor. So that's basically what sadaqah is, and lillah, I explained earlier, is a different category.
Right, jazakumullah. Three callers on the line. Jazakallah for your patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jima, brother.
I'm a pensioner. I got some money in my account, but I am using that money for my kids, or what I've got. Do I have to pay zakat on that? And can I receive zakat?
All right. Just hold the line in case Mufti Saab wants to ask you another question.
All right.
Zakat. Mufti Saab?
Okay. You can put down. I'll answer
the question. Okay, you can put down.
Okay, if that money in your account is equal to the nisab of zakat or more, and it stays with you for one Islamic year, then you'll have to pay zakat on that. Otherwise, no. If you have the nisab of zakat every month, but every month you're using from there, and it goes below the nisab. The nisab currently is 5,400 rand. So that is your nisab. If you're using from there every month, and it dips below that nisab, it goes to 5,000, goes maybe 4,500, maybe you're paying rent, whatever it might be, then you don't need to pay zakat. The condition is that the nisab must be there at the start of your Islamic year, and it must remain there, and the end of the Islamic year, 12 months later, you must have that nisab or more, then zakat is payable. And once zakat is payable upon you, once zakat is wajib upon you, then you can't even accept zakat. But if you are using from that money, you never have the nisab of zakat for the full, even for a month. When the month end comes, you use some of that money, it goes below the nisab. The next month comes, you're using, you are continuously using, so that money is actually going in your daily needs or your monthly needs, your expenses. So you don't pay, you won't pay zakat. Zakat will not be compulsory upon you, and in that case, you can also accept zakat. One more thing here, in terms of the acceptance of zakat, if you own property, even if it is a vacant land, property that you're not using, we're not speaking of the house that you're living in. You might own that house, but it is your house, you're living in there. We're not speaking of this. We're speaking of something that you don't use. You own a property, a vacant land somewhere. you might not be getting income, but you own that land. So in this case, you will not be able to accept zakat. You don't pay zakat on land, but you won't be able to accept the zakat. So just keep that in mind. But if you don't own any land and the money you have is being used and is always below the nisab, then you can accept zakat and zakat will not be farz upon you.
JazakumAllah. Regarding further, G. Line number 2, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello?
Hello, G, my brother.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Hope you all well.
Inshallah.
Considering
yes.
the constraint of times, I'm going to be very quick. Question number 1.
G.
I pay zakat every month, right? So it makes it easy for me at the end of time of Ramadan. Is that permissible? I then do the necessary calculations, and if I have to put in more money, I put in. Number 2, if I travel 77 kilometers outside from where I live on business, do I have to pay further, or can I keep that roza after Ramadan? And number 3, I am a heavy diabetic on 80 units of insulin per day and 3 metformin. Is roza farz for me, or can I keep it after Ramadan in different days, or do I pay further on it? Thank you.
All right, JazakAllah, my brother. You take care, Allah give you shifa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ameen. Okay, the first question, paying zakat monthly, yes, that is totally permissible. But keep your records, keep track of what you're paying. You pay it monthly, so you're paying zakat in advance for that particular year. So when your year ends, you will have records of what you paid on a monthly basis. You do your zakat calculations, then you deduct whatever you paid for the past 12 or 11 months, and then you just pay the balance, what you still owe, what is remaining in zakat. That is totally permissible. Number 2, you're traveling for 77 kilometers, so you become a musafir. Yes, once you become a musafir, then you have the concession of not fasting. Now, remember one thing, that if you leave home before Subh Sadiq, so you're traveling, but you left home before Subh Sadiq, and naturally that means now that you are at home, you had to make the intention to fast. We'll come to the other masala on the diabetic issue. But assuming that you can fast, so you had to make the niyat of fast. Now once you left home, after Subh Sadiq, you made your niyat to fast, and after Subh Sadiq, maybe in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you departed for your business trip,
sure.
And you become a musafir, then you're not allowed to break the fast. You've got to see it through right till the end, because when you started the fast, you were not a musafir, you
sure.
were a muqim. Therefore, it was compulsory upon you to see out that fast right through till the end. However, if you do break it, there won't be any kafara. It will just be the one qada that you must keep after Ramadan. However, if you were already a musafir, let's say you travel today, you fasted today, but now you're staying somewhere else tonight, you're sleeping over somewhere, and you've got a business meeting tomorrow morning. So tomorrow you are allowed not to fast. Once you're already a musafir, then the concession kicks in and you are allowed to leave out the fast and then keep the qada later. Coming back to the third question about you being a diabetic, again we make dua, Allah grant you shifa. But you need to look at your own condition, how you feel about fasting. I know of people that have a similar condition like you on this metformin and taking so much insulin, but they're pulling through, they fast and they keep the fast right through till the end. They just cut down on their daily activities, have a bit more rest and so forth, and at night and morning drink a bit extra water. So if you can pull through and you can fast, then it is farz upon you. See, we can't say whether fast is farz or not. You are the person that can, you need to look at your condition. The default will be that you must fast. Now the condition that comes up is, I'm a diabetic, you're taking so much insulin, you might feel weak if you don't eat anything. So if you feel weak and you find it difficult, then you're allowed to forego, to leave out the fast. And what I would advise people to do this, that you start your fast, regardless of what your condition is, you try fasting, you start the day, make your niyat, And then you see as the day progresses how you are feeling. If you're feeling weak and you feel bad, you feel that you might pass out or something might happen, then by all means you go ahead, drink water, eat. There won't be any sin for that, and there won't be any kafara. It will still be one qada. But if you can pull through, and maybe yeah, especially now in South Africa, the days are short. Alhamdulillah, we're fasting short days, and we're getting full sawab. The sawab is not short, the fast is shortened. So if you can pull through till zuhr, after zuhr, you lay down a bit, have a bit of a rest, and inshallah you might be able to see out the fast. However, if you do miss the fast, you will have to keep the qada after Ramadan. If your condition improves and this diabetic problem doesn't persist with you and you are able to keep the qada, it will be necessary to keep qada after Ramadan.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Saab. We're going further, dear. Another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Alright, a reminder again, inshallah, for the program. Number to call 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers 0825-8070. A question, G. Romans. Engineer Saab, the question says, Mufti Saab, are you allowed to make dua to get married to a specific person that they come home to see you and propose for you when you know it's a good boy in good family? Jazakallah khairan.
Yes, by all means, if you know, if you feel it's a good boy and you would like to marry that person and he has come to see you, now of course you need to wait for his answer. If the answer is positive from your side, you need to wait for his answer. You can make that dua. There's nothing wrong in that. Ya Allah, I like this boy and make it possible for me to marry him. That is totally permissible. And in fact, it's a good dua because you're making dua for something that is important in Sharia.
Jazakumullah. The question states, I've paid zakat last year, but this year my cash value has fallen below the nisab value. Do I have to pay zakat this year or not?
No, if your nisab, if your cash and your assets are below the nisab, at the end of the Islamic year, when your 12 months ended, you didn't have the nisab, then you don't need to pay zakat this year.
Jazakumullah. The other question with nisab, it states that during i'tikaf, when you make wudu in the wudu khana, can you converse or reply to the salams?
Yes, you can reply to someone's salam. You can speak to someone, but you cannot stand still. Let's assume you made your wudu, finished, now you're moving out of the wudu khana. Let me just also add something, although it's not part of the question. But I think some people also make a mistake with this. After you made wudu in the wudu khana in the masjid, you're not allowed to stand and dry yourself. You need to move into the masjid. So what we say, bring your towel with you, keep it next to you. After you made your wudu, as you're going back, because I know sometimes it's cold in the winter and you have to walk long and you are wet. So as you're walking, you can dry yourself, but don't stand in the wudu khana to use the towel there to dry yourself. So you are allowed to speak to someone, you are allowed to reply, but you must do this whilst you are walking, going back to the masjid, not standing still and speaking.
Jazakumullah, very, very important, Jazakumullah for that. Line number one, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Mufti. I got a question on a credit card. You find most of the Muslim owners, shop owners charge you 2 to 5% on a purchase. Is that allowed or is it not permissible? Because I noticed most of the Muslim store owners, they charge you if you use your credit card 2 to 5% on it. And then another question is, if I took a loan for my sister and I'm paying her off. Now I put that money into a property share, you know, fund. I'm putting it here. Is she must pay zakat on that or I must pay zakat on
it? Right, Mufti Saab will respond to the questions.
Jazakallah.
Okay. My brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, the first question on the credit card, it's not permissible to charge a person that extra amount if a person is using the credit card. That is the basic mas'ala, because if you purchase someone from someone's shop, or let's say I'm a shop owner, you come to me, you bought my goods, you pay me, the goods came to 10,000 rand, you pay me with a credit card, I can only take 10,000 from you. I can't take extra. If you take extra, that will be riba. However, what I assume happens in certain businesses, because the shop owner, when they process that transaction through their account, through their tills, using the credit card, they get charged a fee by the bank. So if the bank charges them, then of course they can pass that charge on to the customer, to the consumer. Because the consumer, the customer, the buyer will have to pay that. Remember, when you buy from someone's business, when you buy from a shop, you're not, the shop owner is not obliged to accept a credit card. He can say, no, I'm sorry, you must pay me cash. He's got the right in the Sharia to say that. So if you say, now I want to pay by credit card, and the bank is charging him to process the transaction, then he's got the right to collect that money from you, because you are the cause of that bank charge being credited or debited from his account. So if the bank is charging, then yes, the shop owner can charge you, but he can only charge you the exact amount that the bank is charging. If they're charging 2%, he's going to charge you 2%. If they're charging 1.5%, it must be 1.5%. He can't put something extra for his pocket. So just keep this in mind, and if you're doing a transaction, find out from the shopkeeper, why is he charging you? Why is he charging that 2%? If he says it's what the bank is charging, you got a right to verify from the bank, or to ask for some written verification whether that is a 2% charge. And if that is the case, then yes, it is permissible. It's not going to his pocket. It's actually something that he's just passing on from the bank to you, because you being the buyer and using a credit card, you are the cause of that extra 2%. You can't expect the shopkeeper to foot that particular charge of the 2% that comes through your credit card. The second one was about you owe your sister money, and so you're not paying her the money back, but you're putting that money into a property. Now, if money that goes into property, there's no zakat on that property. So if money is converted into some kind of fixed property, or whether it is movable or immovable property, equipment, machinery, there's no zakat on that. So the zakat will fall away. However, let's assume that you are paying off that debt, the money that you owe your sister, you're paying it off, and in between something happens, if you pass away, there's an outstanding amount. So that outstanding cash that will come to her from your estate, she will have to pay zakat on that when she gets it, because it will mean now it's a loan that was outstanding, the cash money was still owed to her, and that means when she gets possession of that money, any loan, when you get possession of it, you must pay zakat on the past years, for as many years as that loan was owed to you. But whatever money has gone into the property, that is not zakatable, and the zakat will just fall away. There's no zakat on property, as I said, or equipment and so forth.
JazakumAllah. We go on further. The question said to Mufti Saab, let's take our caller first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Okay. Question stated with Isab, with regards to Taraweeh, I read a Sajda ayat and I read the last part wrong. Instead of Yasma'un, I read Yasjudun and went into Sajda. When I repeat this ayat Karima, do I have to make the Sajda again? Jazakumullah.
If you repeat that ayat in the same rakat, that means you got up and you read that ayat again, then you don't need to make the ayat of Sajda, on condition that this was the only mistake. There was just one word that was changed in the ayat. So I'll just repeat that again, that you read the ayat, there was just one mistake at the end, and you made the Sajda. Now when you get up and you read the ayat again, you don't need to repeat that Sajda. But if you change the most part of the ayat, you read something completely different, part of the ayat you read, part you read something else, then you come up and you make that Sajda and you read the ayat again, then you'll have to make another Sajda, because that first Sajda was not counted. It was not actually a Sajda Tilawud, because there was nothing to warrant the observance of that particular Sajda.
Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Line number 4, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alright, let's go on further, inshallah. The other caller, G. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Jee, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Jee, so say your question.
I'm not sure if this was put forward earlier because I tuned in a bit late. I work for a company. They pay 50% of my pension fund. I pay the balance 50%. Is a pension fund zakatable?
All right. Well, this I will respond to you.
Thank you.
Jazakumullah.
Okay. In this case, because it is a pension fund that is funded by the company that you work for, so such a pension fund is not zakatable. You don't need to pay zakat on the pension fund. What will happen is when you get that payout and the money, the lump sum comes into your possession, or maybe part of it is paid out to you, from that day onwards you count 12 Islamic months, you count your Islamic year, and then after that year you will have to pay zakat on that. But you don't need to pay zakat for past years on a pension fund, and you don't need to pay zakat currently on whatever funds you have contributed to the pension fund. There's no zakat on the pension fund.
Jazakumullah for that. Salaam alaikum. The question states, can zakat be given to somebody who needs to go to the rehab, and does the money have to be given to him, or can another family member open an account and the money be put in there? Jazakumullah.
You can use zakat for someone who needs to go to a rehab on this condition that the person himself is eligible for zakat. In other words, he doesn't own anything. Look, a person might not have to pay zakat, but it's possible that he can own something that is not zakatable itself, but then it doesn't make him liable or eligible to receive or to accept zakat. So if he can accept zakat, he owns nothing, you can give him the money, cash in his hand, or you can make an arrangement that if he's going to the rehab, if there are fees to pay, then he goes there. The organizers, the management of the rehab, they will make out an account to his name. They will make out, so the debt will be owed by him. Then he can instruct someone, or someone can ask him, get permission from him to pay that account, to pay that fees, and then you can use zakat money. Likewise, if you put that money into an account and the money is used for him, that is also permissible, but in this case it will be used, as I said, that if you're paying an account for him, if you're paying fees, you got to take his permission first. So even if it means you give him a written document that I, the undersigned, hereby authorize so and so to pay my fees that I am liable for you at this particular rehab, all the details there, and he signs it, that is fine. If it's not verbal, if he just reads the document and he signs, that will mean he has instructed you to pay his zakat. You can do it, put the zakat into the account. Likewise, the third scenario is you put the zakat into his account and you have someone controlling that account. They will withdraw the money and they will spend it on him. This will mean now buying things that he needs, his clothing, food for him, but all these things will be given to him, because remember again, the underlying factor in zakat is that it must be given to the poor person. It must be given into the possession of that particular person. So if they buy clothing, of course, it's his possession, he will wear it. If they buy him toiletries, it will be things that he will be using for himself. They buy him a bag, they buy him shoes, there's food stuff that will be given to him, and he keeps it in his room and he eats it. So these are things that he possesses. Using the zakat money will be permissible for these purposes.
Jazakumullah. Yes, it's 10:55 p.m. Mustafa said, Jazakumullah for the lovely 2 hours you've given us. Alhamdulillah, we all learned a great deal. Allah Pak grant you barakat, long life, good health, and all of the best. Much appreciated. Request for du'as as well, Muftisa.
Allah Ta'ala accept your people's efforts also, and Allah accept all our a'mal in the month of Ramadan. And we make this du'a. Allahumma ashrikna fi salih da'awati al-Muslimin. Oh Allah, include us in all the good du'as that Muslims are making throughout the world in this month of Ramadan.
Ameen. Jazakallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, dear listeners, 5 to 11. Yes, we have a break, inshallah, for the news. And thereafter, it's time for money, Brother Hamzala. Yes, it's the pledge line, inshallah. We're going to ask you to contribute for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to be opening up the lines as well after 11 o'clock. Number to call, 854-1548. The SMS number is the same, 0825-8080-70. And inshallah, our target today is approximately, inshallah, we will get the 100,000 rands. Don't come away, 5 to 11.